It is Monday, March the 11th, and you are listening to the Outsiders Comic Book Underground Podcast. Hey guys, this is the Outsiders Comic Book Underground Podcast. I am Wade Wilberforce Allen here with
Khalil Goodman,
Mark Gibson,
and Mark Ultron is here.
Hey guys, we've been missing for a couple of weeks. Myself in particular, I've been overseas, had a great time, but now we are back. Guys, what have you been doing in the interim?
I've been sick.
Ah, shame.
Yeah, I have too. I'm just starting to recover now. So you can hear the sniffles the whole show.
Yeah, I was on a cruise and I picked up a cold too. Some of those guests were very hygienic. So I saw this one guy going to the bathroom and peed and just wiped his hand to his hair and come back outside.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was like, whoa.
Cruise ships are dirty.
Yeah, they are. Remember you posted that article?
Beat up.
Yeah, it's true.
I told you.
It's true. The nasty, man. You get like, send it this. Straight back out. I was like, no. Yeah. So anyway, we're all back and ready to go again. As usual, we're going to start with some comic book news, and that is usually Mark Gibson's forte. Mr. Gibson?
All right, we've got a variety of comic book news stories. I guess kicking off with DC Comics. The widely acclaimed Astro City. Kurt Busiecki's Astro City is returning as an all-new series in June this year.
Kurt what?
Kurt
Busiecki.
Right, Kurt Busiecki, according to me. Yeah, his series Astro City is coming back, and it's going to feature artist Brett Anderson. Yeah, Anderson's a nice pronounceable name. Uh-huh. And it will feature heroes from the previous volumes as well as new characters. What's his name again?
Busiecki. Did you read Marvel's?
Yeah, I read Marvel.
Right, that's the same. He wrote that.
Okay, cool. Well, the writer is saying that the series will return after the final Wildstorm arc to DC proper, but he didn't give any indication of a long break. His reason for the holdup was that he was sick. He elaborated that increasing feelings of exhaustion became pain and eventually a diagnosis of gallbladder disease. So after treatment and healing, he started getting more productive late last year, and he finally reached a combination of A, having enough finished issues in the drawer, and B, producing new stuff on a steady basis that we all felt secure in putting the book on schedule. While the book will be published by the DC imprint, it will not be a part of the DC universe. Astro City takes place in its own reality, not part of anyone else's universe, same as it has been from the start. Also, rather than a series of mini-series that will focus on a character or a group of characters, the new Astro City will be ongoing monthly and open-ended. Characters like Winged Victory and the Samaritan, as well as new characters like American Chibi, Silver Adept, and a villain named the Ore Master will show up as well. There will also be a character named the Broken Man, but the writer isn't saying whether he's new, old, or somewhere in between. Moving on in similar DC news, but this is DC from the movie set of things. There have been some ups and downs with regards to the DC's Justice League movie. And no, apparently Christian Bale is in talks to reprise his role as Batman in DC's upcoming Justice League movie. Christopher Nolan will oversee the project, and Man of Steel helmer Zack Snyder will produce and possibly direct, if a new report from Latino Review is to be believed.
Going back on all kinds of statements originally made on both Nolan's bat and the JLA thing there.
And Christian saying that he's finished playing Batman. Yeah.
Well, Christian Bale has stated before that he would be willing to do a fourth Batman movie if
the money's right.
Nolan was involved.
Mark is saying the headline and Wade is saying the subtext.
But I mean, with the huge success of Avengers, everybody's looking at that and saying, you cannot look at it and say, oh, well, we can ignore it, that there's a big, it's golden season right now, like, jump on board.
I'm I'm sorry, I am totally of the opinion that as things stand, there is no way they can match Avengers success. There's just no way. They need another set of writers and another set of actors
from anything that's been talked about. If Zack Snyder punches into orbit with Superman, then...
Okay, I'll give that a chance. If Superman does really, really well, then they'll have momentum to make a good deal.
And Batman, whether or not you like the films...
Because I don't.
Like and films, I do.
Well, no, I like the last
Christian
one.
Bale as Batman one. Would bring people to the theaters. And if Zack Snyder does well with Cavill as Superman, then you already have two.
Let me present a quick and very likely to my mind scenario. Bale does return as Batman. Superman does good, but not great. Batman leads the JLA movie.
In any case, whether or not it does well or not, Batman Superman would still leave the JLA.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, they'll have it like Captain America with Batman directing everything, and he would probably take a lot of the screen time. Whereas Superman would be Hulk, the effect shots.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably still going to happen in any case.
I would hope that would be
the wider public knows Batman and Superman.
Uh-huh.
Green Lantern's films didn't do as well. Film didn't do as well. They're hoping that the second one would.
Are they
better?
They're casting a new Green Lantern, or
no? They're still
Ryan Reynolds
going to go for a darker, grittier Green Lantern.
I'm with that.
And then all you have to do is cast Wonder Woman and Aquaman, or Wonder Woman and John.
No, John.
Wonder
that's
Woman
what I was going to ask.
Cyborg,
no, John.
And Flash.
Depending on how they want to do it.
And Flash should have had a movie a long time ago.
Well,
but anyway, yeah.
There was another.
The thing is, they can't do Avengers in terms of a funny, campy Joss Whedon type movie. They have to do serious action packed, and that's a much harder sell for that kind of level. Yeah.
Joyless film.
Well, all right, you've been hearing some, you know, chatter from the movies. Some people have saw some early, early version of the film, and they're saying that it isn't as dark and gritty as the first trailer made out to be.
What are we talking about?
Superman.
Oh, yeah. I heard it's action packed. It's actually kind of.
Yeah, they're saying action packed. They're saying it's got a good deal of humor in it. You know, they haven't gone the entire Dark Knight.
I'm still totally looking forward to it.
You know, also there have been some questions as to whether the next movie after Man of Steel will be the full Justice League movie or will they do a World's Finest? So you know, and with the script by what's his name. Will you get wrote Gangster Squad that got tossed out? So they're pretty much back to square one. So, and a lot of it is still hinging on the success of Man of Steel. So if Man of Steel can play the part, then there will be a JLA movie for sure.
I have faith that Snyder and
that other guy
are gonna do a big Justice League movie. Other guys, he's made a couple of okay movies, hasn't he?
I've
heard his name or something.
You know, his biggest thing is that sound. Once a movie has that sound, it can't fail. Yeah. Bram! Yeah, can't miss.
So, that's pretty much the story coming out of Rumorville for the Justice League movie. Moving on to Marvel side of things now. In terms of comics, we've got a new scroll. Right. We've got a new Daredevil series coming. According to Axel Alonso, he's saying that there's gonna be a new Daredevil series coming, and apparently it will be called Daredevil Dark Knight. Ha ha ha.
I can just imagine that boardroom meeting. You know what we'll call it? We'll call it Dark Knight. DC will piss themselves.
Apparently, the acclaimed artist Lee Weeks, he's going to be on board that. It's a new 8-part anthology series featuring a rotating creative teams telling their own stories about the guy in red. That's it for
Daredevil warranted something like that. He's not, I like Daredevil, but is it that big that he wanted a new anthology series? I remember dealing with Batman and stuff like that, like you said. I know, on top of that, too, in terms of new books coming out, there's also a upcoming Superman Batman team up book again, like they had back a few years ago. So that should be pretty good.
The reason why I think Axel Alonso has put up. The reason why this is important is, one, Axel Lund is the new editor-in-chief. He's announcing a lot of new creative teams. But I suspect that the renewed interest in Daredevil might be because of a film coming out. Because what we're going to be reviewing one of the Daredevils today, what are we reviewing today?
Daredevil End of Days.
Has had a lot of success, and I suspect that Daredevil is going to become more in the fore in the next year or two. I have nothing to back that up. I've noticed that there's been more and more Daredevil in a lot of people's stories as well.
Because Mark Waid has been reading a really good Daredevil book. Ben says to End of Days, and that's good as well. Daredevil's a very underrated character. Stories are always good. I read a bad Daredevil in like 20 years.
Whoa, yeah. Batman.
Yeah. 20 Batman, years.
Bendis has been on for quite a while now. Back in Bendis and Bobaker.
He's been on 20 years though.
He's been on a while ago. Like, around the same time.
Include, like,
around the same time baby. He started. Around the time he started writing Avengers, and I was like.
I don't think the Daredevil baby stuff, really. That whole Shadowland arc. When Bendis came on.
You said 20 years.
Well, let me just see when Bendis came on. See when Bendis started writing Daredevil.
Yeah. That whole Shadowland story arc and Demon Daredevil was rubbish. So
Demon Daredevil, what was that?
That was what, in the last 2 years?
Shadowlands, when he was possessed by the beast.
Right.
I liked how it started off. I didn't like how it ended up.
Rubbish. So I don't know if it's a good thing. Anyway, we're going to continue with our movie news while waiting.
It's not really me, dear.
The part of the old man will be played by Mark Gibson today.
Right, so back to movie news, and still with Marvel, Nicolas Cage says he's done playing Ghost Rider. Yay!
Oh no, tragedy.
Crushed, I'm devastated.
All the world will end.
He did such a great job with the first
time. Those movies, he couldn't even keep a straight face while he said it.
Those movies were Oscar worthy.
Oscar the Grouch worthy.
But we should find out that I talked about it before when you brought this news, that Nicolas Cage's argument about this film was, contrary to what popular perception is, this is where a normally successful movie. We made it for $47 million and it approached $200 million. I view that as a success.
Well, I mean, can you really argue?
Yes.
Yes.
That point,
the amount of money a movie makes has no bearing on how good it was. Avatar! No bearing whatsoever.
So yeah, so there's the likely prospect that there will be a third Ghost Rider movie being developed.
Rebooted, someday. Hopefully.
According it was 20 years ago. He started in 2001, so that's 13 years ago. Yeah.
So,
I mean, come on.
According to Cage, he believes that a third Ghost Rider movie will be made someday, and he's suggesting using a female version, flaming boobs. But his name is
the current Ghost Rider is a woman. Really? The current host of
Zarathos
is a girl.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see it, but not campy. Make it a serious dark movie. I want Zarathos to be the star of it and the human host to be secondary.
I could care less. I'm not a big Ghost Rider fan.
Has some good stuff.
I did enjoy the scene in the first one with the old Ghost Rider from the Western.
Yeah, that
was a cool scene.
But they didn't develop that part at all, so it really kind of was almost like, well, okay, that happened.
Yeah.
And not connected to anything else.
I like the early one. John Blaze was the Ghost Rider in the 90s, because I like, you know, anything with sorcery and stuff, but it was never, I don't know, there's something about the look of it that just feels like, it just looks cool, a skull, and I'm more like, okay, more so
how can it feel?
The actual kind of
depth of the comic, yeah. I can agree with that. I was reading that and Hellstorm at the same time, and Hellstorm had a more meaningful writing on the whole, you know, dark evil agent thing trying to do good thing. Hellstrom, I don't know who's writing at the time. Sorry, Wade. But the book was really good in terms of trying to develop the character and not just do cool things every month.
Wrapping up our movie news, for all of you anime heads, series fans, Marvel Studios is set to premiere two brand new... brand new Disney XD animated series this summer. Official release dates have been announced for both, revealing that fans will see Marvel's Avengers Assemble on July 7th and Hulk and the Agents of Smash on August 11th. The Avengers Assemble will run parallel to the record-breaking blockbuster movie, Marvel's Avengers, and it will see Iron Man leading the team of Mightiest Heroes, Hulk, Captain America, Thor, Hawkeye, Black Widow, and newcomer Falcon, who will combine their powers to battle threats no single hero could overcome.
I actually read something that said this would actually kind of be a continuation of the Avengers Mightiest Earth Mightiest Heroes. I don't know if that's true. I mean, just to change up a few things to make it fit more in the movie universe, but actually, story-wise, a continuation.
I want it to be contiguous to the movie universe. Keep it in continuity. That worked really well for Star Wars and the Clone Wars and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it makes it immediately relatable. You don't have to set up the whole thing yet again, which fans get really tired of.
But yes. So we just scrapped the last series, which was really
right, good. And go from the MCU. Yeah.
Just a correction on the Ghost Rider thing. Alejandra Jones was the Ghost Rider, but she only lasted for 29 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then Johnny Blaze was back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
where's Danny Ketch? Anybody knows?
The voice cast for Avengers Assemble includes Adrian Pasdar as Iron Man, Fred Tatasciore as Hulk, Roger Craig Smith.
That's Scooby-Doo, right?
He was the Hulk in, I think, the last series.
I think Scooby-Doo as well, wasn't he? Huh? I gotta look it up. The guy who's played... If it is, then he's the guy who's been playing Scooby-Doo for the last 30-something years.
Let's find out, shall we?
Let me see. We've got Roger Craig Smith as Captain America, Travis Willingham as Thor, Troy Baker as Hawkeye, Laura Bailey as Black Widow, and Bumper Robinson as Falcon.
Mm-hmm. That's not the guy who's doing
Hulk and Agents of Smash stars Marvel's biggest, hardest-hitting superhero Hulk as he's joined by his larger-than-life teammates and unconventional family, his cousin She-Hulk, the irascible Red Hulk, the exuberant A-Bomb, and the savage Scar. Skittles threats are too enormous for other heroes to handle.
It's the Skittles Hulk in one show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I feel like physically ill. That's my least favorite thing about the entire Marvel Universe. And
the creative talents behind Hulk and Agents of Smash include Paul Dini, who's from Batman animated series, as well as Lost, Henry Gilroy, Star Wars and Clone Wars, and it includes again Fred Tatasciore as Hulk, Clancy Brown as Red Hulk, Alicia Dishku as She-Hulk.
Elijah Dishku, really?
Ben Diskin as Scar, and the award-winning Seth Green as A-Bomb.
I'm gonna give that a shot, right? But
well, you can tell me how it goes. Yeah. I don't think I can watch it, even with Seth Green and Elijah Dishku, which is interesting to me.
I'm gonna give it a shot because everything animated on Marvel, I'm gonna try it. Every comic book, I'm gonna try it at least once. If it disappoints me, then I'm gonna watch it again, like Ultimate Spider-Man. I do not watch that.
I've actually been enjoying it for a long time.
No.
It's Frank Welker who's the voice of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I realize, yeah.
And he's been the voice of Scooby-Doo since 2002.
Tatasciore was on Scooby-Doo, but he was playing a Phantom, so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the guy I was thinking of was actually Don Mesnick, who played Scooby-Doo from 69
something.
To the 90s. He played Scooby-Doo for a long time.
That's the news?
That's it for news.
Alright, well, we're going to move on to reviews. What book do we start with, guys? We can start with all you want. Oh, let's do that big one.
Sure.
Yeah, let's start with Ultron Age of Ultron, number one.
Do we actually want to start here?
Yeah, let's get out. That's a great book, isn't it?
Well, I can't go downhill from here.
Uphill from here. All right, the Age of Ultron book. Quick synopsis. Start off tracking Hawkeye. Oh, it's in the future. We start off in the future.
It's the future? I thought it was picking up regular continuity.
It says
today.
Yeah, but they don't really talk about that. And it's the future. Because today in Marvel is not this.
It's not this.
Yeah.
I just got to feel like this is out of continuity. But
everything I've read about Age of Ultron says it's not out of continuity. It's the regular Marvel 616
books. That's bullshit as far as I'm concerned. I think, like, I was...
It's not bullshit.
Let's break for a moment for all of you on that. I think what happened is that Bendis meant for this to come out a couple of years ago, maybe, and it would have fit then. But now everything's moved on. He's no longer doing the Avengers universe. But the story, he still wants to tell the story, so he's not telling it. But I don't think it fits with what's happening now.
Well, Well, we have to see how they...
I mean, there's Luke Cage in there and everything, and...
We'll have to see how it pulls in continuity, but we know that he wrote this... started to write this several years ago, right? Before...
And they're saying there's no book that's not going to be touched. That means...
How?
I don't know how. But exactly. We start off in post-apocalypse with a giant, ridiculous... Blade Runner type.
Sorry, we're jumping ahead. Do the synopsis.
Yeah. Techno City of New York. So Ultron has successfully taken over the world. The human areas seem to be ghettos. It's basically Terminator 2 future. There's isolated areas of humans basically hold up with their own kind of law. We start off following Hawkeye as he rescues, spoiler, Spider-Man.
Hold on. How the hell does Hawkeye
suddenly finish this analysis?
Sorry. because Hawkeye is now the poster boy for the Marvel Universe, his popular turn in the Avengers movie.
It's not because he's a popular turn in the Avengers movie. His Avengers movie presence is not large.
Yeah, but clearly it was loved because
Hawkeye's
going to finish the Hawkeye book.
It's that they want him to be large.
But he's not that. Well, they chuck him all over my face. He's all over.
Yes. They're stressing out you, but it has nothing to do with Avengers. I'm like, his presence in Avengers is minuscule.
One of the problems I had here is probably something else nobody will even care about, but they had Hawkeye using crossbows, and I really hated that. He's all about a conventional bow. Using crossbows is like, might as well use guns.
Well, I guess, and the situation calls for it.
I'm sorry, it drove me crazy.
And since when Hawkeye killed everybody there?
When do crossbows reload? Anyway.
This is a Tony Stark power to shove an arrow through somebody's skull, yep. Apparently.
No, bows are pretty powerful. Yeah, closer.
So he finds, and this is another spoiler, and listen to me carefully, he finds Peter Parker and rescues him.
Is it Peter
Parker? He finds Peter Parker's body.
It is Peter Parker.
The speech pattern and everything is Peter Parker.
It is Peter Parker. Sure. I will again bet money on that, and I will absolutely make this claim now. It is Peter Parker.
That's what totally Bendis.
I will have to be proven wrong on this at a later date.
I am not arguing with you. I am sure Bendis wrote this before, but I'm also sure that they have modified it to fit into
this. Yeah, but this isn't Superior Spider-Man.
He's all beaner. He's like, hey, hold on, I'm giving him a second. That is Peter Parker. That is not.
So that was good to see. I was glad to see that. Moments later, Ultron's rain down from the sky, and they basically blew up the entire building that everybody was in. They seem to be omnipresent of Ultrons in the way there were omnipresent Terminators in the Terminator movies. Everything is an Ultron.
I was going to say, or Sentinels in Days of Future
Past. Yeah. They're just omnipresent enforcers everywhere. They are not adamantium Ultrons. They're copies. Hawkeye does a pretty good job of taking some out. And he and Pete escape back to the secret sewer hideout that the remaining heroes seem to be living in.
Well, the entrance happens to be under the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, which is a little bit like, we're right here.
We never left. Right here.
This is the last place they'll look to find us.
They blew that up. They'd never be there. Yeah, so there's a bunch of remaining heroes. She-Hulk with a buzz cut. Iron Man in a face-out suit.
He's wearing a Tron changes. Suit.
Yeah, he is wearing a Tron suit. Luke Cage is there. So, who's there and who's not?
Wait, Luke Cage has hair?
Yeah. He used to.
Another idea of
the Batman. He used to have a fro that had a metal steel band around it.
It was a tiara. Another suggestion about this being written before is that Beast looks like a cat, and Emma Frost is on this team with them, and her hair is long.
That's what this needs to be. This needs to be like a what if or
somebody needs to address this for you.
But wait, we have to wait and see because we're not fond of on the synopsis. So if we're going to start discussing it, let me know.
Alright, yeah, let me just finish up two more pages. So they take Hawkeye to task for going to rescue Peter. It's like, you know, they'll find us now, blah, blah, blah. So it's that kind of dark future where they're so hunted and so, so reviled that they're in hiding and basically running scared. They keep talking about the lack of planning they have and the reason they don't have a plan. We find out the very last page is Captain America is basically huddled in a corner with his head down, unable to do anything. Next to the remnants of his shield.
And his suit, which is like destroyed.
Tattered, yep.
And I thought that was a hat that Cage was wearing when it was here.
Yeah, so this wasn't a great start for me for how this story is going to play out. I mean, it
shall we talk to Jose?
It didn't Jose. Create it didn't create tension for me. It went too far into the story to really build back up backwards for me. And now it's like, well, where are you going to go from here, like, in terms of making it matter to me before?
In my opinion, nothing happened in this book.
That's what I'm
saying. This is classic Bendis.
It's just
this,
a setup.
Right, and it's all is decompressed because it's 22 pages of nothing really. You don't know anything.
Except he returns. That was the only that was the only plot point.
But really, okay, so Days of Future Past. All my references are X-Men references. Days of Future Past, Age of Apocalypse, and recent Age of X all start off the same way.
They start with a view of the future.
In medium res, right, in the middle of the thing, and then you figure out what's happening as it goes along. So,
but
and then all of those dystopias, you know, or even not a dystopia, but also a shift, House of M.
House of M.
Right? When it gets rewritten by Scarlet Witch and everybody has their fantasies and whatever. Again, it starts in the middle and you have to figure out what's going on, right?
But do they move it in both directions at the same time? Do we see what happens after the point they start at?
Depends on how
and
the story goes.
Before?
So, like, for Days of Future Past, it's eventually explained how the Sentinels came to into being and the mutants are put in concentration camps. The House of M, we see that Scarlet Witch has rewritten everything, and as people talk from the dialogue, you figure out what's going on. And recently in X-Men, in the Age of X, it just starts off with the whole reality being all the mutants are in one place, and they're being attacked all the time, and you have to figure out what's going on. This started off to me the same way. Like, they're being attacked, we realize that somehow Ultron's taken over, and as you go off the story, it will be explained. I think it would be unfair to say that everything should be explained in the first.
No. That's not what I'm saying at all. But to me, they've killed, well, not killed, but they've put the before story, which to me is the most interesting part, Ultron's rise to power.
Mm-hmm, but that will
kind
come
of
after.
In. They put it in shadow because.
Right, but you
we can see
off,
the effect of the plan. He has tons of Ultrons everywhere.
You think about if last month you were reading Avengers and it was one way, and then this month you came into the story, you'd be like, well, how did this happen? You'd be interested in seeing the rise of Ultron if it comes later, which is how I assume they're going to do.
I am.
I have a problem with putting it in the middle because, like, having this kind of devastation, having them in dystopia, then having Captain America as the ultimate symbol of the Avengers tatter is far more of an interesting kind of setup than even having his shield broken. Having him a broken man, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I think we're all coming into it thinking Marvel now is so good, why derail the stories to go into this
that's
story?
Part
which
of it.
Come
I'm saying,
before.
Just make it.
I think we all have our prejudices,
stories.
But the actual issue in and of itself, I don't think was that bad.
It wasn't bad.
I think I just thought it was a good setup kind of issue.
As usual, I just get tired of Bendis' style of storytelling because you have to read Bendis in trade format to really enjoy him. You can't read him single issues because nothing happens at all.
There was no hook to the story, I think, is what it was to me. There was no catch to say, well, I'm sold on Age of Ultron now. I mean, I am sold on Age of Ultron. I like Ultron as a villain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see him, you know, this how he succeeds the story. But this book had no meat to it. It was a vegetarian meal, yeah. This book was a vegetarian meal.
Sorry.
There go our vegetarian listeners.
No, they're totally with that. Light, not too heavily seasoned.
I don't know.
No, yeah.
Alright, I'm, you know, deep into this whole crossover burnout syndrome, you know. It's like PTSD for comic book crossovers. So I'm not enthused at all by the Age of Ultron. I mean, yeah, Ultron is a very scary villain, but I'm wondering if they're just going to overuse him, you know, or whatever. This issue, what I understand, the, you know, you start in the middle type of storytelling, that's cool, that's fine. My question is, how does it fit into continuity? They've said, if you read up on your research for Age of Ultron, they're saying this is not an alternate Marvel universe. This is Marvel 616. This is happening and it's happening now. Alright? So you've got a Peter Parker, you've got a Spider-Man who is probably Peter Parker in this issue. You know, you've got all kinds of other elements that are so completely disconnected from the current Marvel now. You're really wondering how this fits, okay?
Alternate reality.
And no, but that's the easiest and most obvious explanation. But Marvel has said it is not an alternate reality.
It also makes the thing of cleaning this up afterwards. You're almost certain it's going to be like, and then they woke up, or and then the Celestials fixed it, and there's going to be a Deus Ex Machina. Or we just
go back in time and
go back to another time, and
it never happens. So.
Which is also kind of tiresome thing that you're seeing now. I mean, we're taking all of this from the first issue. That's part of the problem I have with all of that.
And just Scott Witch says no more Ultron, and just goes
back to So
we've seen that the world is utterly and completely changed. So that means, and this is 616, that means certain things.
Right, so like Gibson would say, there are no repercussions, there's nothing wrong. So I'm going to enjoy this for sure, because to see how they all got to this point is fun. I love alternate reality stories and stuff like that, but I know at the end of the day, Marvel knows it's going to continue basically on the product it's already on, so this is pointless.
I would much more be interested in Age of Ultron if Spider-Man was still the Hulk.
We're
going to have Doc Ock stories with Age of Ultron.
But you're having
Superior Spider-Man that's coming up. Those were panels from Superior Spider-Man with Ock fighting.
But what this story will be telling us is that before we get
before
this
the end of it, Parker takes back over. And by the way, just we're not doing Superior Spider-Man. So just as a mention, Superior 5, Peter said, when I get back in control of my body, he basically made it a given that he is getting back control.
That may be a red herring on the Slots part, too. Finally, that's it, Peter Parker forever and ever and ever.
That'll happen. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to go into hiding like Salmon Rushdie.
I don't think Age of Ultron is going to be the place where Peter Parker gets back into
somewhere before.
You think this is a future?
Right, that's definitely going to happen.
Right
before the future.
Oh, I'll have to wait to see, because I'm not even sure this is a future that's definitely going to happen. But I've read a lot of X-Men, so dystopias, and alternate realities and alternate futures.
Isn't Age of Apocalypse still going as its own continuity?
Yeah, it's
going
to get cancelled in April, though. The series is getting cancelled in April.
What's different for that is that there's no end to that future. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If this is regular continuity, we know things have to go back a certain way after you know they finish playing.
The Avengers have had other futures as well.
So how do we rate this, guys?
Based on the Hitch art and it's Bendis, and I love all her reality tales, so I give it a 3.5. It hasn't been strong. It starts strong. Nothing much happened, but. I think it's going to have some good action pretty long, a little further, so 3.5 for me, not a 4, 3.5.
I'm going to cut it right in the middle and give it a 2.5.
2.5?
Wasn't anything there. You're talking about the speculation for what's going to happen next. That's fine, but it wasn't in this book.
I like the Hitch art very much. His detail on the
it's beautiful
destruction and stuff was really good. I like the action. I actually followed Hawkeye. I didn't know who he was going to save, so I thought that was good. And he saves Spider-Man, so I thought that was interesting.
Spider-Man, who said that by rope?
Yeah, how did he catch
him? But after he's been beaten a lot.
Spider-Man has been talking about being Hulk, but Thor.
He also looks like he's gone through the ringer, so I'm gonna let that go.
They mentioned a deal with Ultron. Ultron may have been involved in his capture.
Yeah, he looks beaten.
Oh, Ultron captures Spider-Man and has him off the punch.
They had heroes
over to Ultron. So.
I mean, he may be involved in his capture, like using Ultron tech or that.
Yeah, exactly. So I give it a 3 overall. I thought it was solid. It wasn't great. It wasn't a good start to this supposedly mind-blowing...
Super hyped,
but long-delayed crossover.
If this had happened before in Bendis' run, I think the reaction would have been a lot different.
Yeah.
Well, if this issue came without any word bubbles, any text whatsoever, I'd rate it a whole lot higher. Yes, the art was kind of cool. I give it minus points for Hawkeye surviving another apocalypse. So it gets a 2.
Bro.
What's our next book, guys?
Bro, Ultron is good, bro. Ultron is good.
Moving on. Should we do another Marvel book?
Daredevil
End of Days. Okay.
Number 6.
I can't review issue 6 in its by itself. Have to look at the old series in its entirety. It's a mini series done by Bendis and Alex Maleev, it's the Bendis show. Who in his original run with Daredevil, this is the team that was used. It's set in the future. It's Daredevil's final adventure, or the end of Daredevil, actually. So Daredevil has this last big fight in the middle of the street with Bullseye, where he dies. Bullseye kills him. And the last word that Daredevil says is Mapone or Maypone or
Mapone.
Mapone, maybe, right? And this word sends Bullseye crazy and actually causes him to kill Daredevil. The whole story is about Ben Urich, the reporter for the Daily Bugle, who was Matt Murdock's good friend, trying to piece together the last days of Daredevil and figure out what this word meant and what caused Bullseye to go off the edge and what Daredevil was doing and stuff like that. It's like a big mystery. So he goes around to Typhoid Mary, Elektra, who has a little, has a kid who has red hair and looks a lot like Matt Murdock. He tracks down the owl, Frank Castle, who's in prison, who actually breaks out of prison and starts killing off a bunch of people, kills off the owl and some other villains.
Frank killing people.
It was more surprising to hear that Frank was in prison.
But he wanted to be, apparently Frank wanted to be in prison. See, the whole, I can't review this issue by itself because the whole thing is all interconnected. We don't know anything about what's going on. Ben Urich in this issue, he goes to look for the Purple Man, who's come to look for him. When we get there, Frank has put a bullet in the Purple Man's head. So everything, every time Ben Urich thinks he's getting closer to the truth, a door slams in his face. There's a new Daredevil running around, or is it the old Daredevil? We don't know. The whole thing is, like I said, a big mystery. I speculate Ben Urich has an adopted son. I have a funny feeling that he may be the new Daredevil. The art isn't that fantastic. Yeah, it is by Klaus Janson, who normally used to ink John Romita Jr. But it's kind of weak for me.
In some panels, it's great, and in some panels,
it's kind of sketchy. Like, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Not good.
And he's actually inked by Bill Sienkiewicz, who's a big
Bill Sienkiewicz,
right? Who was on a lot of stuff back in the day too.
Bill Sienkiewicz is most known for being the guy who redefined New Mutants when he came on.
But they're affiliated with
his art was like everybody tried to imitate him afterwards when he came on.
This was my data creators. Like I said, in this issue, Ben Urich was busy. The owl throws the fact that he has Daredevil's mask in Ben Urich's face, saying, you know, I'm so glad he's dead and he was such a condescending prick, blah, 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 blah. Ben Urich gets a call from the Purple Man, who instructs him to come see him. The Purple Man can control you with his words. Whatever he says you have to do, you have to do it. When he gets there, the Purple Man is dead with a bullet in his head. The Punisher is done. The Punisher whispers to his finger at his lips and says to Frank, Phil Urich, to be quiet. And that's how that ends. I'm looking forward to the last two issues of this book because I'm not sure what is going to happen. I'm not sure what's going on. It reads like a real old film noir.
It's a film noir.
Yeah,
it's film noir. It's very much in the kind of Sam Spade.
Right. Ben Urich is Sam Spade, you know, again, beat up all over the place, trying to get pieced together this mystery. It's really fun. It's really good. This is Bendis' final Daredevil tale, I believe, and he's doing a great job. What do you guys think?
Well, for me, I honestly haven't been impressed at all to follow this series.
Really, isn't?
Yeah, really. Yeah. So,
what do you need?
Not this. Definitely not this.
What do you need to impress you?
It's another. Oh my goodness! The hero has died. You know, some new hero. There was a series, was it called Frontline, was it? As part of the Civil War.
Yeah.
Which pretty much starred Ben Urich
and
around, you know, reporting behind the scenes of this whole great conflict. I was impressed by that book. So here you have another book with him, you know, running around doing stuff. Again, not impressed. Really not impressed generally. The only thing that really stood out for me in this issue was page number...
Oh, I just want to point out while Gibson is doing that. And shout out to our fantasy sponsors. Mark, Ollie and I are reading our comics on our brand new spanking brand new Google Nexus 7. 16 gigs of memory running on Android 4.2.2. And the good people at Nexus, at Asus and Google have blessed us with these to read our reviews, do our notes on. We can keep notes on it. Seriously,
no joke, all those sites, a 7-inch tablet is perfect for reading comics. Yeah. Reading so much more than it was before.
Yeah, you know, this is beautiful. We can do our notes on here. We can actually record stuff.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So, guys, go get your Google Nexus 7 and
kick your comic reading into high gear.
Google, if you're listening to us, we'll do this every week, so sponsor us, thank you.
I totally want a slightly bigger tablet than that, but I'm very envious seeing you guys reading comics on
that. Yeah, agree.
It looks fantastic and good. You were saying a page that you liked.
Page number 3, I'm surprised we didn't catch this. It's a homage, a tribute to
Media Red. Yeah. No, actually, that's a Daredevil shot. That's not the
it's a tribute
cover. No, there was a Daredevil shot like that. It was Devil Page like that.
Right, but he's right. It's a homage to Amazing Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was slightly different. Let me pull it up. I think
they're both referencing the same thing.
No, I don't think so.
Come on, Wade.
There was a Daredevil when I looked a lot like that.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man was first.
Yeah, they're all referencing the same thing.
Amazing Fantasy
number 15, is it?
Yep, number 15.
Yeah,
no, I think it's slightly different.
No, Wade.
No,
it's the same.
Oh yeah, you're right.
it's an iconic cover that's been reproduced.
Yeah, I knew that, but I thought it was. I thought
Deadpool's the Daredevil one.
There's a Daredevil one as well, but
which is slightly different. The Daredevil cover that was like the first one is different to that.
Page 3 of this is definitely a reference to.
All right.
Well, you guys.
For someone who's a big fan of this issue and of this series, but you didn't catch.
No, I saw that, but I was saying it was the Daredevil original cover.
Okay.
Not Amazing Spider-Man.
So I was reluctant to read this because I did not like the Frontline series that Mark was talking about, I was like, eh. But I do like this series very much. The film noir, the pulpy kind of film noir. Feel to it, the not knowing what the last word of Daredevil means, the find your words, the pretty much everything about it. I even like the Bill Sienkiewicz ink, but I think it's because I like Bill Sienkiewicz. But the everything about the kind of, I like film noir, I like all those old Sam Spade and the Fat
Maltese
Man, the Thin Man
and stuff. Yeah,
it's and I also like the fact that I can't anticipate where this is going.
Exactly.
More, I mean, we're talking the last Age of Ultron. We pretty much already said, well, this will probably happen. This will probably happen. You know, there's certain tropes that feel kind of done. This is a story that I don't think I can tell what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Does it feel like, it's going to be the femme fatale, is going to be Black Widow, whatever. I don't know where this is going.
My only guess so far is that your son is the new Daredevil, and I could be completely wrong about that.
But what I liked was that it referenced all the connections of Daredevil from multiple stories. So you had Echo, a pair, you had Typhoid Mary, you had Elektra, and things that the hints and stuff. There's a panel where Yurik has the word Mapone written down, and he's trying to figure out if it's a puzzle or a different set of words. He's trying to find out if it's an anagram for something. You know, Punisher said he would know. The costume
Punisher
was too small. All that stuff. And, you know, I think it's a mystery that I'm interested in seeing.
Because where does the Punisher fit in? What's going on?
I'm actually interested in it.
I was actually upset that it's actually 8 issues because I'm
fine with that.
No, when I first started to read it, I was like, I didn't even know what's going on. So I wanted like 2 issues. Hell, no, gonna be 8 issues to figure out, and it's killing
more
me.
And more.
It's killing
these
me.
Kind of like maxi series, mini series that have a complete story are much more.
No, I get that, but I agree. But I just want to know what happens. So I want the end to come so I can, you know, get the payoff. So I'm suffering waiting for the end to come. But it's great. I love it.
Sorry. We did this in the middle rating. I give this a 4. I really liked it too. This is good, solid Daredeviling for me.
Yeah.
This is the best kind of Daredevil stories, even without Daredevil.
4 for me as well.
I give it a 4.5. I really enjoy it. The only thing that pulled it off my 5 is the art.
The art. That's why I'm not giving it anymore.
Really? I give it a 2.
Gibson.
Now would be a good time for me to suggest the people listening, please tweet us at Outsider Comics on Twitter and tell us what you think of Daredevil End of Days number 6. Do you agree, like Mark, that it should be a 2, or would you rate it higher? Let us know.
I'd give it like me a 4.5.
Mark has now permanently earned the title of the Russian judge.
Jeez. All right, moving on to our next book. And I'm going to pull up our list on our Google Nexus 7. Dum-dum-dum-dum. Yes. Okay, our next book. We're going to move to DC. Or should we do the quote-unquote indie book next?
What does that mean?
We can do DC.
Let's get this last... Let's get this book, indie, this image book out of the way. Because it's not what we thought it was. We're going to review a book. Yeah. A real book called Sex. By Image.
Well, how could it fail?
Yeah.
I know.
You'd be surprised.
Image has been putting out a lot of good books recently, and clearly they're like trying to grab more attention. So this new book, Sex, is written by Joe Casey. Joe Casey, well known for writing Hulk, Fantastic Four.
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Superman. He's been on everything. And this is creator-owned book he's doing. With Peter Kowalski on the art, color by Brad Simpson. So we are all entering the same place at the same time. Simon Cook is our hero. He's returning to Saturn City. This is the first time he's been back in a long time. We understand from it that he is a Tony Stark / Bruce Wayne type of guy. He is heading up a big multinational corporation called Cook Industries. I think that's what it's called. And he's back officially. First thing he wants to see is the gym. He goes to the gym. We find out that hints that he was a superhero before. No powers, but physically perfect. And he's given it up because he promised.
It's called the Armored Saint, right?
Yeah, Armored Saint. Well, they say Armored Suit. Did they say Armored Saint?
Armored Saint.
Oh, okay. So, and we don't actually see him in the suit, but the cover has suggestions of what the suit looks like. And since he's been gone, Saturn City has fallen back into crime. We get some suggestions of a villain called the Old Man, and
AKA the Vulture.
Yeah, and so Cook made a promise to his dying mother that he would give up wearing the costume. Seems that he used to get some kind of perverse inverted commas sexual pleasure from being a superhero, and now that is up, he's trying to find that same pleasure from other places. So the book finishes with him watching two girls at a whorehouse, dressed up kind of like superhero / fetish girls, making out with each other and having sex with each other. He can't get off, and it finishes with the madame of the house meeting him and recognizes her as a former suit named Shadow Lynx, and it finishes there. And that's the end of that.
Yeah, this book, I mean, if I was 13 years old, I would have given this a 5. It's really pretty fat that there's some graphic sex in it. I mean, full frontal, oral, 69s, works, it is sex, literally. Other than that, I wasn't that impressed with it. I'm going to try it again, because I'm not in this game shooting them after one issue. Yeah. But, like I said, this guy is kind of, the book is a deconstruction of superheroes again. This guy, he just basically does what he does to get off on it. So now he no longer has the ability. No, he can no longer be a superhero. He has to actually look at real sex. It's kind of sad. I'm not that impressed, to be honest. And what was funny for me is that the first cover the book has first issue collectors item. So I thought that's kind of funny. Yeah. Other than that, yeah.
I wasn't impressed when I read it the first time, because I was like, well, nothing really happened. It just sets up everything so that you have to read it again to kind of figure out what's going on. But I did like the art a lot, and I like the idea of this deconstruction. The deconstructions of superheroes are done over and over again. But unlike like The Boys, for example, which is all about satirizing it, this gives a suggestion of more of a psychological kind of aspect to it. So I'm willing to read it.
Yeah, I'll stay with it.
The next one.
My impression was it wanted to be sexy Watchmen. In other words, not the kind of classic problems Mortal, but a different kind of troubled superhero set.
So every issue we're going to get a lot of graphic sex, I'm assuming.
With the title, I mean. Sex.
But the thing is, the sex to me wasn't like graphic like Boys is. This doesn't feel.
Well, the problem I had with it,
kind of like tastefully.
It might have been tasteful. It was gratuitous. It was entirely gratuitous. They did
for the girls.
Yeah, it did not advance anything to be this graphic. There was no point to it.
But in my opinion,
I find it very sexy.
The art to me is a little more realistic than the Boys was. So that also
I'm going to give them a little bit of props for that, Khalil. Yes, it was very, feeling, very sexy, but we felt how he felt about
right,
it.
Very kind of, I felt very kind of like disconnected from it. Yep. It was on display, but it didn't feel very sexy.
Maybe, okay, so maybe cool. I'll take it back. It was, they did it right because it was like, well, why am I watching this?
Exactly.
It was really just kind of felt silly, but maybe that's intentional and it made us feel how he feels. So, yeah, props.
Well, they juxtaposed his dying mother, in memories of his dying mother.
Yeah, they'll always do
so
that.
He made his... He made the promise to his mother that we're assuming it's his mother, but it may not be.
I'm sorry, but I actually was a bit turned on, so I must be minority here.
Well, because it's just vagina and breasts.
Yeah, so that works for me.
So there's the poll for you guys. There's vagina and breasts in this book. Go buy it.
I'm
now.
Sorry, I have internet.
Go pick it up.
I have RedTube, which I can also pull up on my Nexus, like Google Nexus 7.
And there goes our sponsorship.
Yeah, right no, on. No.
This book, Born with Tears.
Yeah, we're not surprised.
I couldn't be bothered with it at all. Reading it was a waste of my time. I wasted like an entire 5 minutes of my life. And in the trend of my previous reviews for this week, I give this book a 1.
So you want to try issue 2 to see if it picks up, or
it can only go up from here. I do hope. It digs a hole and just goes deeper.
I'm going to give it a 3, which is my typical average rating. The book was okay to read, but it didn't move me. Particularly, but yeah, it was alright.
I've had more stimulating ball movements. This book is rubbish.
I gave Age of Ultron 3.5, so I can't give this a 3. I have to give it a 2.5.
So the psychological value of it, actually, I think I probably will end up liking this more than Age of Ultron, but I give it a 3 for now.
Liking this more than Age of Ultron isn't hard.
Okay, well.
Anyway, Image has been putting out a lot of good books recently. I'll Create Her Own. So they don't put it out unless they think it's going to be worthwhile. So
should
I pick it up and see if it's worthwhile?
Mm-hmm. The collector's issue on the front, though, that reminded me of the 90s so
that's
much.
That's what I'm saying.
Image, collector's issue.
Yeah, I loved it. It was
that's
so funny.
Entire,
it was
that's
so,
the entire
so presumptuous
story of
the
right there.
Funny.
It is obnoxious.
Yeah, it's a collector's issue. You need to get this. All right, moving on to DC. Our first DC book is Green Lantern, and Mr. Grumpy Pants himself, Mark Gibson, is going to take this one. Green Lantern number 18.
Green Lantern number 18. Well, given the tripe we reviewed so far this week, this book being an improvement isn't actually that hard. We've already announced that Geoff Johns is leaving Green Lantern.
No!
Hiss. But this book continues.
Did we announce that he was leaving last episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Get over yourself, weird. But anyway, this book continues the ongoing story of Wrath of the First Lantern, which is a follow-up story arc after the Rise of the Third Army.
And if it feels like the two stories just kind of blended together,
that's because they did.
If you didn't notice that a new major storyline has started, then you're in the same boat as I am.
First Lantern is a lot more interesting than Third Army.
Yeah. First Lantern it continues to be interesting. It picks up from the previous issue, where we see Hal, Sinestro, and the new Green Lantern, the new Earth Green Lantern, Simon Baz, they're in the Deadland. It's a dark place, and the artwork beautifully reflects that. It's a place of blacks and grays, really. It's a very drab-looking world, and it's filled with
shadows,
you know, shadows and specters and that kind of stuff. And being in this world means that you're supposedly dead. We have some Baz crashing in from when he was pulled in by Black Hand in the previous issue. Initially, he can't remember where he is. Then he realizes, where that is. He recognizes who's with him, specifically Hal and Sinestro. He's like, oh my god, I'm dead. I can't be dead, you know. People hit with some kind of beam, yada, yada, yada. And Sinestro, in particular, is pissed because the guy who he left the ring for was supposed to be their help, their rescuer. Now that guy is stuck in there with them. But amazingly, Hal realizes that Simon Baz still has a ring on, so he can't actually be dead, because when Green Lantern's day,
the ring flies off
to go and find a new user. So Sinestro, realizing that okay, the ring can be his out, attacks Simon Baz, pushes away Hal Jordan, and starts wailing in typical Sinestro fashion on Simon Baz. But this is just after Simon tries to use the ring against him. And Sinestro, being the cocky prick that he is, says, hey, go ahead, human, try to use my own ring against me. So that doesn't really work. So Simon's getting his head beaten in and is about to be stabbed to death with a jagged shard of something when he whips out his trusty sidearm and puts a shot into Sinestro.
Questionable next plot point tied together.
Ever. Yeah, I know people were reeling before, like, okay,
why does he need a gun?
Now you know.
And Simon Baz wastes no time pulling the trigger on Sinestro. Afterwards, he seems a little, oh my god, is he dead? Did they kill him? But it's revealed that, okay, you're in a dead zone, so you can't actually, you know, die again in here. Well, regular means can't really kill you. So we do a quick flashback to the outside world where the Squirrel Lantern is combating the Lost Guardians and on his mission to try to liberate Hal Jordan from this dead zone. You know, there's a quick tour of the place, you know, where they're trying to work out, are they actually still dead? The fin-headed Green Lantern, whose name is Tomar Ray, he's saying that more and more people are showing up all the time in this dead zone because the Vol'Toon guy is out there killing people by the millions. So, shortly thereafter, some green light flashes through the dead zone. The Guardian, Badig, is, you know, trying to pull out Simon Baz by putting a link to his Green Lantern ring. The ring immediately starts to duplicate, but the extra ring is snagged instead by Sinestro.
I'm just saying that Hal got punked like a bitch here. I can't believe he fell for that. Damn.
And it's Sinestro and Simon who end up going back into the, you know, land of the living, leaving poor Hal behind. Because, yeah, Sinestro does indeed punk Hal. He makes him feel fear, which distracts him. And, you know, Sinestro gets a ring and it's
gone.
Look,
it's Carol!
Yeah, sweet.
So, back in the real world, land of the living, it's Sinestro and Simon. But they've swapped out instead for Black Hand, who is now in the dead zone. And Hal is now left trying to figure out how to get back. Because, again, he's fearing for the love of his life, Carol, who probably is fine anyway. And he's trying to figure out how to get his other foot out of the land of the living. Because that's the issue with Hal at the moment. It's revealed he can't wield the only ring in the dead zone, which is Black Hand's black ring. Because he's still, you know,
living.
Somehow he's still got one foot in the land of living. So the book pretty much ends with Hal and Tomar Ray staring off of a precipice into the dark black abyss.
Well, as we know from the previous book a while back, there was a prophecy in the Book of the Black which said that Hal Jordan would be the greatest Black Lantern ever. So this kind of ties into here where it looks like Hal's only way to get out of the dead zone is to kill himself and use the Black Lantern ring.
No, Hal. Suicide's never the answer.
It's never the answer, but maybe
but
it is.
But you know you're coming back.
Do yeah. it, you fool, do it.
Yeah, I
just pull a Jean Grey.
Yeah, I... this is John's at his finest. Is he ever anything but his finest? Yeah. I really...
Thank you.
I really enjoy this book. The subtlety in the art, the in the dead zone.
I love
the
art.
It's beautiful. Yeah. You guys gonna see it is like dark and creepy and like just black and white and shadows and stuff.
They bring an atmosphere
really,
that is
not, yeah, it's
really hard
shadow.
To do in comics.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
great. It's great.
It doesn't feel like... It feels like something you haven't seen before. The
yeah.
blacks are so heavy.
Yeah.
And it feels very like colorless.
And I've been reading all the other the preview books. Not preview, but the first four chapters of this, which kind of all entailed Vol'Toon attacking the other lanterns and showing them bleak futures of themselves and stuff like that happened to bring on their morale and whatnot. Those were really working for me, but the overall series itself has what I didn't get from the Third Army. The sense of urgency and impending fear
yeah,
and doom.
It really is.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying this.
And I love the end, and I'm looking forward to the next thing more than I have for any Green Lantern story
right.
since I came back.
And this is actually John's last Green Lantern story, so I guess he wants to go with a bang. So.
I guess I'm the opposite. This stuff's actually driving me away.
Ooh, hiss.
It's, no,
hiss.
It's driving me away from the Green Lantern. I am so... unimpressed and bored by the main Green Lantern title. It's well done, but I'm just not interested in it. I'm interested in Simon Baz.
I'm interested in it when he switches to black. I like Simon Baz.
I like Simon Baz. I do not care about Hal Linton. I do not care about Sinestro.
Hal Jordan.
Maybe he'll get his own Black Lantern book.
Hal Jordan. I do not care about Hal Jordan.
You said Hal Linton.
Yeah. Hal Jordan and Sinestro.
I'm not interested in them either. Care less. But I think I'd be more interested in Hal when he's a Black Lantern.
I'm interested in Simon Baz. Yeah, I'll probably be interested in Hal when he becomes a Black Lantern.
I'm interested in them all.
And I'm interested in Kyle over in the New Guardians.
Yeah, I like Kyle.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't care.
Hal's my least favorite.
If the Volthoom, if Volthoom kills Hal, I would be like, yeah, great.
I would cheer.
No, I love Hal.
I can't stand Hal.
I love what I love Hal, and I like. I don't. Sinestro's an asshole, but I like Sinestro.
I feel a little bit like I may have lost some momentum with this series when the Third Army was
so bad.
Yeah. And so my only interest was in Simon Baz being a fairly well-developed character coming out of this.
An original and different feeling character. I really like him a lot.
This is not really good.
He's not Hal Jordan.
I like really? The way it looks.
Well, that's a feature, Wade.
But
Poozer.
No, not interested.
I know. I want to see Simon like wielding a gun belt and go like ammo going around and stuff. That'd be super.
Really?
No. I mean, come on. He's walking around with a sidearm. It carries into the ammo. He's going around ammo eventually, you know.
It's out of character. They won't do it, but I see what you're saying.
No.
He's carried a practical gun because he's a practical kind of down to earth guy.
Yeah, but he did that because the rig failed him once already. Yeah. So he said, you know what? I'll just depend on this. I'm going to have some backup.
But it makes sense because you've had numerous lanterns who put all their faith in their ring.
Yeah,
and the ring failed.
It's not
point.
Or get snatched by Superman. All
right. So, how do we rate this book, guys?
I give it a 4. I really enjoyed it.
3.5 for me. It's a vast improvement over the Lantern books that I've been reading recently. I suddenly interested again. The best thing I've read since Kyle Rayner unleashed that rainbow for what's his face, that Guardian.
The only problem is that there was no Doug Mikey art, so that's what Brent went on for.
Yeah, well, I love the art.
There's like
the
two pencilers on this.
Yeah, there's an artist and a penciler.
There's an artist and a penciler. I don't know what that means. And then there's two colorists on this as well.
I think one guy did the
black and white,
so
one did color.
But it was great art, like fantastic art.
For me, I want to give this book a 4.5.
Wow.
Best of the week for you.
It was a good book. The art was eye popping. I don't give it the full fight because Hal Jordan's still alive, but you know,
it's looks like they're gonna change that.
The next issue
he
is
came
called
back. Damn it, he came back.
He's done that before, hasn't he? He's come back several times.
He wants to stay dead, you know. I blame.
He really does pull a Jean Grey.
I blame Superman.
Blame the Raiders.
my thing is, I'm giving this a 4. I recognize that this is a good issue. Uh-huh. It's just not an issue that I like. Like, I am not enjoying Green Lantern, but I understand this is a good issue.
That's called being objective.
Right. So, the art was good. The characterization of Sinestro and Simon continues to be interesting. If you are a Green Lantern fan, this was a good issue. But for me, I'm very cold on Green Lantern right now. So, 4.
Right. All right, moving on to our last DC book.
Oh, God, I hate this book.
Yeah.
Our last book, period.
Yeah. Superman 17, which wraps up the supposed to have been epic, but was anything but quite...
Lukewarm.
Yeah, very lukewarm.
Tepid.
Yeah, tepid.
Flaccid.
Or limp. Anything else?
You understand where I'm going with this.
Undistilled campus.
Hell on Earth storyline.
Although the art's pretty.
Yeah, Rockford's pretty good. Right, this issue, what was going on? Okay, there's this guy that came back, came to Earth.
Can someone explain to me what he is?
He seems to be a Kryptonian, but...
Is he, like, I figured he was, like, an Eradicator.
Yeah, but he was a Kryptonian, but he was, like, trapped in some kind of different solar radiation for a while or something.
I don't buy his own story.
I don't know. Anyway,
for me, he's, like, a joker for me, who has, like, this different origin story for everything. What he's telling Kara, I don't buy it.
It seems bogus. Yeah,
I thought he was going to be like the new 52 Eradicator.
I thought it was Bizarro at first.
Or Bizarro. That's what I thought.
Anyway, so this guy, Hell, whatever you want to call him, right? Hell.
The apostrophe being a thing is a Hawaiian convention. That's how they use it. It's a pause in it.
It's yeah, it's a hot L.
So hell,
hell. You say it faster, say hell. Hell on Earth.
But you're supposed to know it's hell.
Hell.
If you say Hawaii properly, it's supposed to be Hawaii. You pause in the thing.
That's been our ramble for the day, guys.
Yep.
All right. So hell, he's this Kryptonian who was probably working at Jor-El. And no, not Jor-El. What's his father's name? It was Jor-El.
Was working for. Okay.
Did you just ask Walt Kal-El's father?
No,
his
last name was it Kara's father.
Oh, okay. Right. No, just check him.
No, you're right. he worked for Jor-El and said right. He was friends with Kara's father.
Right. So
both dads.
Just right. Making sure.
So he is all distraught about the destruction of Krypton, and his ultimate mission is to bring Krypton back. He's enlisted Kara by telling her a bunch of lies and turn her against Superman. And at this point, he is where we start our story. At this point, he's put his master plan into action. Superman, Superboy, Supergirl, Wonder Woman, the rest of Justice League are trying to stop him. He wants to use the energy from our solar system to power this big time ship he has to go back in time and save Krypton. Superman, who's been having his ass kicked for the last couple of issues, pulls out all these stops. He's demonstrating his strength that he didn't even demonstrate when he was lifting the Earth for 5 days straight. So Superman is like ultra powerful now at this point, but he's still being slapped around by hell.
I want to interrupt you at one point here. The writing tells us how strong Superman is being.
Yeah.
The art doesn't really keep up with it.
Yeah. There's even a scene where hell punches Superman and Superboy says, I've never seen anybody punch that hard, but what happened?
Yeah, I've seen Batman do more kinetic punches.
Yeah, it wasn't impressive at all.
Superboy says, I haven't felt anybody punch.
But the art didn't demonstrate
it.
I was like, really? I'm missing something?
Yeah.
Anyway, the battle culminates in Supergirl putting a shard of kryptonite and stabbing Hell in the chest. The exposure injures both of them, and Superman has to fly her to the Force Assault to try to save her life. When Hell's machine went bluey and whatnot, Hell was sucked back into time to about 12 years before Krypton explodes. So he's found by Jor-El, and I think he's going to be armed with the knowledge of what happened. So this has to have implications for Superman's future and our present. So I'm interested in seeing that played out. There's also a giant space oracle who I'm not sure what his purpose was, who shows Superman a glimpse of the past.
The Watcher.
Can I just briefly interject? Boardroom meeting. You know, Marvel's doing pretty good with this cosmic thing.
Yeah,
maybe we need to build up a cosmic mythos.
And it just seems so random that
it really did seem out of nowhere for no apparent reason.
I can figure
the
out.
The Watcher and Galactus had a bastard baby.
And he crossed dimensions.
He crossed dimensions.
I don't know.
He does look very impressive.
Yeah.
He looked impressive, but I can figure his purpose.
He's so out of character for the DC Universe. It's just a very strange thing to interject.
Yeah.
Well, he gives Superman some images of what happened, what would happen, and what could happen.
Yeah, what happened before as well.
Things that should not be is what it suggests. And so I believe that he's there because the timeline is going to shift.
Yeah. Other than that, Hell's defeated, so the storyline is wrapped up. You deal with the ramifications at that point. The writing for me is Scott Lobdell. And you guys know how I feel about Omega's creators. It felt very kind of dated for me as well. Walker Fort's art is beautiful, but we had the issues. Like I said, he didn't bring across the
power.
Action,
that was
the power.
Being come out, yeah.
Even as
he does
a scene,
some good paneling. Though.
Yeah, the progression is nice. Yeah, there's a scene where Superman punches Hell into the ground, and the mountains are probably shaking and whatnot. But it seems small. I really couldn't even tell the power there either. I've seen better kinetic looking pages and punches and
yep.
throwing.
Yeah, but I like how that punch breaks up the page.
Mm.
Yeah,
which
to imply
cool.
that it's so devastating.
It's so devastating.
Can't contain
it. Shatters
it.
Yeah. The page, which I thought was cool.
But the book itself looks very much like a 90s comic, in my opinion.
I think it's the way that he draws, like, the tech. And stuff.
Yeah,
and that must feel
yeah.
very 90s.
Yeah. But it's a very anticlimactic wrap-up to a kind of dull storyline, in my opinion.
I think it's anticlimactic, because that suggests that it was going somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, Khalil's right.
It
right.
feels
okay.
like
a so it was a dull wrap-up to a dull
storyline. To a fairly okay story.
Yeah.
I have to say that after Kara being just mercilessly used as a I can't help myself, I love you kind of character, her taking the green kryptonite and plunging it,
that is actually my biggest note on this as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, way to redeem Kara.
Yep.
The panel where she stabs him looks very cool, but also the fact that she's willing to, like, kill herself.
Yeah, she's already turning green from the exposure.
She's literally turning green.
Well, she's been hiding it for a while, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't like the Supergirl, and I like Supergirl's character, but I don't like this rendition of Supergirl since the New 52. But at least they made her do something like really heroic and less bratty, because she's been really obnoxious.
Yeah, she's been a little
I really hated the, oh, you're so awesome.
Yeah, because kinda, you're from Krypton, yeah. And everything from Krypton is great.
I really didn't like that.
I don't
her. Right, let me not say that. In her own series, I liked her a bit better. When she was interacting with the New 52 Silver Banshee, mm-hmm. she seemed a little more rounded there, but in this series, Elder Sarah's series was rubbish. So, yeah.
I gave up on the Supergirl series. I tried it, but it didn't ground me.
Yeah, so Hal could have been super great as a villain, and so far he was just kind of flat for me.
Oh, the first appearance, I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah, he didn't went really
pretty weakly after that.
Yeah, they were trying to class him as being like some uber Superman.
Yeah, you know, like, and this is the first coming of Hal, and mm-hmm. the whole universe is going to change. My issue with with Hal too is like, you know that thing I was talking about, which is a double-edged sword of sorts. There's no bleeding over or no interconnectivity with the comic book titles. In some way, this Massive is coming off. This should have been like an Age of Ultron type of thing.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, a big crossover affecting the whole
world. I don't think so.
I mean, it had a Justice League in it and everything, but I mean, it didn't feel big. I want this to feel big. It didn't feel big. Even Rising of the Third Army and Wrath of the First Son, it feels bigger than Hell. I mean, Hell should have been big.
When Doomsday came, remember Doomsday came?
This is what I'm saying. I don't know if he's going to be as big as Doomsday. The fact that it was in Superboy, Supergirl, Superman, and Justice League, it spanned four
titles.
Wasn't
in Justice League.
Well, three titles then. It spanned three titles. It connected the Superman family books in the same way that the family did for Batman, or
I'm not sure that's a feature.
Green Lantern.
Yeah,
but the thing is that I think Death of the Family was better done, and the Green Lantern's Third Army was better done.
Yeah, but I'm
this was on the same scale. It just I think the problem was the villain wasn't interesting enough.
The one thing is that Superman mega event has a bigger
right.
reach and a bigger impact than a Batman mega event.
But
well,
what I'm
the world
is
was in parallel.
A Superman mega event before New 52 only had impact on Superman's titles as well.
When was the last thing Superman? No, that's not true. The World of Krypton thing when Krypton all the Kryptonians had a new planet.
Oh, you mean new Krypton?
Yeah,
that was limited to the Superman titles.
I'm sure
it just isn't Superman titles. It's just because you like Superman so much, so you feel like it's bigger. But I mean, three Superman books. Action Comics, Superman, Action Comics.
It wasn't Action
Girl
Comics.
And Superboy. It wasn't in Action Comics. It was in three titles. I think the problem was the character was weak, the story was weak, and that's why
it felt very small.
Yeah.
I think for me, there were a couple of things that happened. Like Khalil mentioned, the whole redemption of Kyra. You know, she was a little whiny bitch. She showed a bit of selflessness. Words. we have a Superboy who was being depowered from how he was really overpowered in his old titles until he came to this book.
Right.
And you had Hal unravel his DNA. So he's a bit close to how he was in pre-New 52. But for me, the biggest thing about this book is the ending. Alright, you have this villainous guy who was hell-bent on
returning
Krypton, who actually makes it back to Krypton, and he might have, at least, the knowledge he would have had before. You know, how is it going to affect? And my concern is, will it actually have an effect on A, the Superman books, and B, the New 52? Because having Superman, a character who is so pivotal in the entire DC universe, having his personal history change should have an impact on the wider universe.
Yeah,
the whole universe, yeah.
I'm funny thing it's not going to happen. They're going to sleep on this.
Yeah.
Well, there have been talks about the change of creative teams. I think it's for this book where you've had some preview art.
Yeah, Andy Diggle is taking over writing on this. He's pretty good. So.
Well, from the preview art, it suggested that Superman will end up on Krypton. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is how.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm a big Superman fan, and Superman has left me cold in New 52.
I'm pinning all my hopes on Scott Snyder and Jim Lee later this year, but this is very disappointing. I have to give this a 2.5, to be honest.
In a miraculous turn of events, I'm going to rate his Superman book higher than Wade.
Whoa.
I'm going to give this a 3, mostly because of Kara's self-sacrifice. That totally changed the way I felt about the character for a long time.
I'm going
to
say
it's not what you're saying, but is that elevated book?
It did for me. Yeah. It was a high point in the book.
Heroic ending.
It's only one of the real developments of the entire crossover thing.
It has done nothing for Superboy. Yeah. A character that of all the Superman family characters, the one that I like the most is the least interesting. Superboy is so boring.
Yeah, talking about Superboy, which incarnation do we like of him? Like this one?
I prefer the
Young Arrow, but the Young Justice one, reason why angsty and
the Bo-chi. I like Young Justice on a whole. Mm. And Connor in Young Justice is cool, but he doesn't have the power set that he has.
Mm. But what about the attitude and the personality he has?
It fits. Given who his character is in Young Justice, it fits. Mm. Yeah, a bit more character development for him in the comic series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but I prefer Connor in the whole pre-New 52. This book, I rate it. I'm going to be consistent. It was a book A2. Yeah.
Disappointing. Very disappointing. Alright, well, that is our last book for you. Everybody rated it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody has any recommendations?
Yes. Before we get recommendations,
no.
Did everybody here see the trailer for Iron Man? Second trailer?
I saw it.
What do you guys think?
I liked it.
I'm underwhelmed.
I loved it.
Underwhelmed, Freeze is overwhelmed. Isn't anybody ever disowned?
I liked it. I'm so underwhelmed. Much.
Yeah. Iron Man is a super duper action movie, and it looks like it's going to be super duper action.
Yeah, and if it redeems itself after Iron Man 2, I'm so happy.
Mandarin, I've said it like 10 times. Mandarin is one of my favorite Iron Man villains in the comics, so I really want to see him on screen. They have not showed him using the rings once in the trailers, and I think that's going to be one of the big treats in the movies.
Yeah, I'm hoping he actually does. The rings actually are more than, gaudy knuckle dusters.
Yeah, I mean, the rings are ridiculously powerful in the comics, so.
Somehow
I suspect for something to need the Iron Army, I imagine the rings do pack a fair amount of power.
I get the impression they don't do anything.
But in either case, the trailer looked really
awesome. Yeah, the second trailer was...
It looked really good.
Awesome.
The trailer looked fine, but I have Iron Man burnout. He's in Iron Man's Avengers. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's been in 3 movies. I'm saying I'm always placed. I'm tired of Iron Man.
I'm gonna give you let's say 5 or 6 years away, Wayne, Superman and everything.
Can we jump straight into recommendations from here? I'd like to recommend Iron Man number 7. The Iron Man book has been, they've started out sending him into space, and the first thing they did was
who's drawing that? That's the first thing.
Alright, I'll get back to that.
Yeah.
The first thing they did was put him on trial by this race of people who worship the Phoenix. For killing the Phoenix. They're calling it God Killer. So he's on trial with this alien race for killing the Phoenix. And that story has been interesting and amusing. There have been a lot of twists and turns on what actually happens. Unfortunately, the art is Greg Land, which Wade
means
and Khalil
I won't be reading it
pretty much write out. But the story is fun to read, and it's setting him up for being Space Iron Man, which, as I've said many times, I'm not looking forward to, but I'm going to try to accept.
Okay, my recommendation is Superior Spider-Man. Actually, put it on your leg.
Legasp.
Yeah.
As much as this.
No. I never said I hated the book. My hate is for what's been done to Peter, but this has been very well written. The last issue, was it issue 5, right, Ollie?
Issue 5 for the one that's
issue 5 was fantastic. Slot has... I mean, Doc Ock still comes across pretty campy and corny and stuff, but... The interaction between him and the other characters and Peter in the background and claiming a level of heroism because he claims it is, even though he's still basically selfish. I'm enjoying the progression.
You had me at campy.
Yeah, I actually agree with it entirely. Superior Spider-Man 5 was a great
issue. It was a very good issue. My recommendation is actually going to be Batman Inc. after issue number 8, which we even talked about, which we can talk about now if you guys want to.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure a lot more people are going to be reading it. But as you know, I've been telling you guys I've been reading it since the reboot. Even though Grant Morrison basically writes Batman Incorporated, like, the reboot never happened. He just continues on his way. I've been enjoying it all the way through. And issue number 8 was very sad. And I don't think that the ending... If you've not read it and you have been living under a rock, stop the podcast now or skip ahead 5-10 minutes or so. So Damian Wayne died in issue 8 last
stupidly
week.
Spoiler.
In a way that I think maybe he should have died in Death of the Family, but I've been enjoying reading it. I like all the characters in the Batman Inc. I know I'm the only person at this table who actually likes the concept of Batman Inc. But
What do you like about that? Isn't that, I mean, to me, I mean, this defeats the whole purpose of Batman.
Batman, I agree, you know, so much.
Batman can't be everywhere.
I'm a loner, I'm solo, I don't play well with others.
You know, you're not supposed to be a clown.
He's only in Gotham.
But Batman's supposed to be like the boogeyman. I think, no, he's just a guy that got a bunch of employees and stuff. It takes away. To me, it takes away.
Batman comes up, Bruce Wayne comes up and says, I provide tech for Batman.
That is a mistake, too.
So
that's a mistake, too. That should never happen.
Logically following that through.
There was a scene in Justice League, but back in Grant Morrison's run, where Batman was on top of, in prison, where there's a prison break. I guess, like, isn't he like bulletproof? Isn't he super strong? And he has laser vision and stuff, because they don't know.
Right.
Right. And that's, I prefer Batman's tech, and, and I don't like it.
I like Batman Inc. I like all the Batman derivative characters being in the team. There are a lot of interesting, different personalities on the team. When another character died in issue before, what's his name?
El Gucho.
No, is El Gucho died?
Squires. It was Squire that died.
Knight. When he died, I actually thought it was really sad. It was like, and he died in the middle of the battle and stuff. And Talia al Ghul is really a vicious, serious villain.
She was back in Tower of Babel. She was so
and
nice.
That's what I like, because she's like decided. My father keeps saying he wants me to head our organization, but it's been undermining me all the time. Mm-hmm. I am going to make sure that I'm actually the head of this organization.
Is Ra's still alive?
Not at the moment, but there's something about him coming.
Not at the moment.
Who?
Ra's al Ghul.
Oh,
and she feels like an actual.
She was hardcore, though.
Threat. And so Batman Inc. has been a very good thing. She's presented a series of actual problems for Batman and Batman Inc. And
I think she makes a good argument to be Batman's number one nemesis. Forget Joker, honestly, because here you have.
Because she has.
Wait, no, Joker's
connection.
Dead. He fell off of something.
He's
dead.
She has a connection.
She has a very
to
personal
him
connection
that
to him.
Joker does not.
Yeah.
And also, I really, really like Damian Wayne as a character, and I like the dynamic of when he was trying to figure, like, him in the middle of his mother and his father having, like,
okay, you heard it here first. Damian Wayne, zombie.
Yeah. Thinking of a zombie.
Coming right up.
Well, he got killed by what is essentially a clone of himself.
So is that suicide?
It's not suicide if your clone kills you. The same way if you have sex with your clone, it's not masturbation.
We settled that question. I wasn't sure.
We settled it now. If you have sex with your clone, it's not masturbation.
What is it?
It's
and
sex.
If you get killed by your clone, it's not suicide.
You have sex with
anyway,
clone,
Batman
what is
Inc.
It?
My recommendation.
Right, that was pretty cool. For me, my recommendation this week is, it's a little vexing. For different reasons. All right. Pretty much the book is called...
I like a book that upsets me. Is this what you're telling me?
Yeah.
No. That's totally not true.
A book that upsets me.
It's called Injustice, Gods Among Us. One of the reasons that it's frustrating is because it's pretty much a marketing ploy for the upcoming game by DC.
But still so good.
Injustice, Gods Among Us. Which
is
I haven't read it yet, but I want to make a disclaimer about that. if the art and story are solid, it's good. I don't care why you wrote it.
End of story. Yeah, it is.
If you have a problem with anything Korea as a marketing tool, then yeah. you shouldn't like Thundercats, you shouldn't like G.I. Joe, you shouldn't like He-Man.
Transformers. Yeah.
All those things that we loved as kids,
push toys.
That we still hold up, were all Korean to sell toys.
True, I get that. But the other thing, too, is because it is a damn good series, right?
So you think it's being trivialized because of it as a marketing tool? That it's
no, no. I think that if they had taken this approach in USB 2, it'd be a better, you know, reboot.
Well, I mean, you can't...
I understand what you're saying, but they couldn't do this in USB 2.
You can't turn a villain, basically, in the...
Well, no, I'm not saying make him into a villain, but this is it's a slightly different take on some of the characters. Alright, basically, the game and the book is about Superman becoming a tyrant. He takes over the world. And in the last few issues, we see why. And again, spoiler alert, if you don't know what's going on, you know...
Pause or jump five
pause
minutes
or ahead. Skip ahead. Pretty much, the Joker manipulates Superman into killing Lois, who's pregnant, while at the same time blowing up a nuclear device in Metropolis. Wiping Metropolis off the map. Awesome. But anyway, so pretty much...
You know, he's grabbed the whole episode and then
He's
in mass murder, everybody's millions of people dead, and he's awesome.
He's happy because there's an actual like ramification, though. I understand that.
Yeah,
like,
you want something to actually happen.
Yeah. We can't be upset because Hael didn't do anything and then be upset because Joker did something. Yeah. Like Joker does
tons. He pretty much applies, you know, his typical methodology to Batman to Superman,
and he gets what's coming to him.
He scores 4 points. He also gets, you know,
he gets what's
dead,
coming to him,
but
he
gets killed.
And we're starting to see a kind of taking sides with people. So you've got the majority of the heroes lining up behind Superman in solidarity, even though he's, you know, declared the world all balance needs to stop. But Batman is one of the few... Batman and Green Arrow are one of the few heroes who don't automatically fall in the line behind our great overlord, the son of Krypton. So, this is issue 8. It came out this week, and it is honestly a good read. So, even if you're not...
This mission is only digital too as well. You have to read it online. Digital-only books.
Yeah, it's not built in stores.
Gotta buy it.
But even though it's, you know, it's built around a game, it is
a solid
bit of storytelling. Actually, the game itself, what they've been doing, another set of marketing they've had, you can basically vote online for who you think would win in a fight, let's say, between Superman and Sinestro. And then they use the actual game to show you, you know, how that fight plays out, which is actually kind of cool. I've been watching all of those so far.
Okay.
So, Injustice...
Where can you see the videos?
You can see the videos. There is Injustice...
Gods Among Us.
Well,
I guess you just
put it in. You can just search for that, Injustice Gods Among Us. Use your Google. It'll take you to the site where the actual for the game. You can also find the battles showing up on YouTube. I'm actually starting to become a little interested in the game itself, but the comic itself is really cool.
How does it read on your Google Nexus?
Well,
it reads beautifully. It's a digital comic, so you turn it on a site. And it's like cinematic and beautiful.
It's made for it.
So Google Nexus, and you guys at Google and Asus, if you're listening, there are two members of this podcast who don't actually as yet have a Google Nexus 7, Mark Gibson and Khalil Goodman. You can find us on Twitter. We send you our details. You can just mail one out to us. You know, one each. Yeah.
We'd be happy to rename this show the Google Outsiders Podcast.
It's sponsored by
Outsiders Nexus. Yes.
Anything else, guys?
No, I think that's pretty much it. You've done reviews, you've done our news, you've talked a bit. So yeah, we can call it a wrap.
Alright, well,
it's a wrap.
As usual, you can check our podcast at, and I haven't done this for a while, so bear with me, www.outsiders.blogspot.com. I don't remember. Guys, I do not remember our website name. That's a shame.
You're very.
I'm gonna. Let's just. Okay, it's www.outsiderscomicbook.blogspot.com. You can also tweet us at Outsiders Comics. Check out our Facebook page, the Outsiders Comic Book Underground. As usual, I am Weirdo Before Saloon.
Khalil Goodman.
Mark Gibson.
And Mark Hawk.
And we are the Cool Outsiders, and we will see you next week.